Well, hey, good morning, church. How we doing? Yeah? You guys ready to rock and roll this morning? Ready to have some fun? No? No one wants to have fun. Come on. You guys ready to have some fun? All right, let's go. Let's go. Well, hey, my name is Josh, like Pastor Des said, and I'm the engagement director here. That means a lot of different hats in one person. But the simple way to explain it is I get to oversee our new group life and class life here at Grace, and then as well as our online church. So shout out to those of you online right now. We're so glad that you're here tuning in. It's going to be an awesome day. Sidebar, speaking of group life, this fall we are launching a bunch of groups here at Grace as a part of the lifeblood of this church. And this week, you'll be seeing some stuff come out in the Grace email. And so I want to just plant this seed to you right now that if you are interested at all in leading a group, I would love to hear from you. We're going to have a form that you can fill out. I would love to hear from you and to know who those people are, because I would love to help get you connected with other people who want to be a part of the group. So, and if you are, I don't know if I can lead a group, but you want to be a part of a group, guess what? We're going to have a group for you. So I want to get you connected. Look forward to that. Look forward to that email, and let's look forward to the fall together. Well, hey, so we're in our series Overflow, and I have personally have loved this series because I don't know about you, but I've kind of asked this question: what is in my heart? What is in my life? How many of you know that what you are full of is where you'll live from? And so the contents of your heart matters. The contents of your life matters. In other words, the soil of your life really does matter. And so I've asked this question, and I'm excited because there's some stuff in my life that we get to share and talk about today that I am full of, but I'm asking this question really for you right now. Maybe you've heard something in the past couple weeks. Maybe today is the message that you need. Maybe next week when Des is back and he closes out the series is the week that you need to hear something. But the question, the new perspective is, what is in the contents of your life? What is in the soil of your life? Because what you live from, it really does matter. And so maybe you need to go back to a message and unpack some of that and dive into some of that. But my hope is that just even with that lens, that it begins to change something within you to ask the question, what are you full of? For me, the contents of my life right now, that my overflow right now is this really cool thing. And it's this deeper hunger and desire to live more aware and in tune with the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm talking like not just when things are hard, not just when things are tough or I don't know the answer. I'm talking about when things are good. When I'm driving to and from work, I'm hanging out with somebody at a coffee shop, I'm asking the Lord to be a part of every moment of my life. My commitments, my connections, my choices, I want him to be a part of it all. And it's rocking my world. You see, I gave my life to Jesus at a young age, and the Lord's always been with me and teaching and moving and shaking in my life. But this year, more than ever before, he's been on a whole nother level, and I love it. I love it. And so I want to share some of that with you and encourage you, wherever you're at in your life, to also walk more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a couple examples. For one, I've over the past, really just this year, 7 months, 8 months, whatever month we're in, I've had this honor of getting to be able to hear and discern more accurately and effectively what God is speaking in those everyday moments. I mean, like, I'm not necessarily speaking more or that God is speaking more. I'm actually listening more, which means that I'm shutting up. And I'm able to just, as in my silence, be able to go, oh, that's how he's saying to me to do this thing. Or that's what he's actually doing on the side. And if I partner with him, it might actually create a radical opportunity for him to move that's beyond myself. And it's actually pretty cool. But then the second thing, and this is probably my favorite thing right now, is that I have this hunger that's translating into tangible impact. And it's not just in my life. I'm seeing it in my friends' lives and in the community that I'm surrounding myself with, that we all are with this hunger and desire to see God move, but we're also seeing him tangibly move. Like, it's not just a perception. We're actually seeing tangible action. We might be asking God to speak and encourage something. We might be asking him to motivate us into something. We might be asking for a miracle or a breakthrough. And guess what? The hunger is leading to impact. It's awesome. It's awesome. And so I can't make a full sense of it with my current human understanding. But here's what I do know. Ephesians 3:20 tells me this way. I was asking the Lord why, this is the verse that I got. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. Y'all, he wants to do immeasurably more than all we can ever ask, think, or imagine. He wants to do more than you can dream. But it's to his power at work within us for his glory. And it's rocking my socks off. I'm not even wearing socks today. No, I'm just kidding. I am. But here's what I know. Here's what I do know with my human understanding. Is that there's no life that I can find both before, now, or I am anticipating that is better than a life lived in the presence of God. There is no life better than a life lived in the presence of God. And that's the heart of today. If you're taking notes, you can jot some of this stuff down. I'm a super practical guy, so I'm going to give you some super practical stuff, some quips, some tools, some things to work on this week with me. Because I'm working on this too. It's not just, hey, you do this. It's, let's do this. But here's the title. Is living more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit? And if you get anything from today's message, here's the big idea. Here's what I want you to know. That no matter where you're at in your faith journey, no matter where you're at in your walk with the Lord, that you can live more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in your life. How many of you guys want more of the Holy Spirit in your life? Amen. Let me pray for us real quick, and we'll unpack some of this and apply it to our lives. Hey, Lord, we just thank you right now that you are with us. Lord, we ask that in this moment that your Holy Spirit open up our hearts, our minds, our perspective. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us right now. Lord, we are expectant to hear from you and to do something about what we hear. Lord, we don't want just more information. We want transformation. Would you transform us today? Lord, inspire us to move into the person and the people that you want us to be on this earth, this side of heaven, but in Tempe and beyond. Lord, we ask that you empower us now to hear you, to become more aware and in tune with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we give you today in your name. We said, amen. Amen. Well, the first thing that we need to know, if we're going to unpack some of this. I need you to know this. That there is absolutely no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. There's no such thing. There's only one Holy Spirit. In fact, the moment that you said yes to Jesus, his Spirit indwelt within you, and he now lives and resides and abides within you. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, it doesn't matter how tenured you are in your faith journey, the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? In fact, next weekend, we're doing some baptisms, and we have some young kids, some students, and some adults who are all getting baptized, which, by the way, freaking awesome. Right? Let's go. But all of those people, from young to old, have the same Holy Spirit who are being indwelled within them. There's not an age gap. It's the same. And so this is important to us today because I love what Jesus says in John 10:27. He reminds us of this. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. When he says, I know them, what he's actually referring to is not, I just have a knowledge of them, but they also know me and are known by me. Like, it's a relational term. So his sheep hear my voice, they know, he knows us, and we are known by him, and we follow. Therefore, part of a sheep, part of the role of being a sheep, part of following Jesus is actually hearing God, knowing God, and following God. Y'all, it's one thing to say that I follow Jesus, but then I live like hell. It's another to say I follow Jesus, but then I have an active awareness, dependency, and an expectation for him to move and shake in my life. It's a whole different ballgame. We become sheep by believing in faith, and we believe because we are his sheep. Faith helps us understand at a deeper measure. And it's the Holy Spirit who's indwelling within us because of our relationship with Jesus. We're going to be in John chapter 14 and later in John chapter 16. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to encourage you to bust that thing out. I want you to see this for yourself. It's going to be on the screen, but I want you to see these words. It's important. But let me set us up while we're getting there in John chapter 14. But the first 12 chapters of John are pretty cool because they cover 31, 32 years of Jesus' life and ministry. There's a lot happening in 12 chapters. But by the time we get to chapter 13 through 17, those five chapters are what we refer to as the Upper Room Discourse. And this Upper Room Discourse actually is a combination of one single day's events of conversation and teaching from Jesus, which if you look at content alone, it's pretty significant because you have 12 chapters covering his life, but then you have five chapters covering a single night. What does that tell us? It tells us that this is a pretty big deal. And so I've done the hard work, and I've kind of boiled down out of those five chapters the two core themes that are in those five chapters. The first one is Jesus teaching his disciples, teaching us the value of living a fruitful Christian life. What does that look like? But then the second thing that he's teaching us is the value of the promise and the presence of the Holy Spirit in that Christian life. And so we're going to unpack that from that lens. All right, so John chapter 14, verse 15 is where we're going to start. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, because sheep hear and follow, right? You know, sometimes I think we struggle to hear and follow, not because we don't want to hear what he has to say, but because we've already made up our minds of what he is saying. Let me say that a different way. We've told God what he's saying, rather than listening to what he's actually saying. We told God what we're gonna do, and we want him to speak to what we're gonna do, rather than going, what do you wanna say, and how can I partner with you? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Can we say that together, another helper? One, two, three. All right, louder, one, two, three. There we go. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells. That word dwell is also the word abide. He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and manifest myself to him. Jump to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Spirit of truth, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. A couple observations. One is that Jesus is talking about being with us when he leaves. It's in this Upper Room Discourse, these five chapters, that Jesus actually not only celebrates the first communion, not only does he wash the disciples' feet, but he also predicts his betrayal and his death, all in these five chapters. And so as a result, he's also preparing us ahead of time for or his disciples ahead of time for what happens when he does leave, when that promise of him giving up his life does come to fruition. And so he's talking about that. And then though he leaves, he's also encouraging already his disciples that he will not leave us on our own. We won't be orphans. He affirms that he and the Father are one, and that those who love him will be loved by God and will have God revealed to him. In other words, that God wants to, or God is communicating to us that we can know him. He can be revealed. He can be experienced. It's not just this idea we have. It's a person. But check this out as well. When John uses the word helper here, it's the word parakletos. And this word actually means called alongside to assist. as if it's a legal defense or an intercessor. John is the only gospel writer who uses this word. And I think it's pretty profound because it's how he sees who Jesus really is. It's his perspective. But it means called alongside to assist. And when they use another in the phrase another helper, that word another actually means another of the same kind. And so what we need to know is that the Holy Spirit is not different from the Son of God in the sense that they are two completely different entities. They're different persons, but they're the same God. And what is encouraging in this and us knowing this is that the Holy Spirit is not just some entity that's outside of us. He's actually also in us and works through us. It's a part of relationship. So check this out. In fact, the same Spirit that walked with the disciples 2,000 years ago through the person of Jesus is the same Spirit that lives inside you and me today. That's the truth. And that's the point. Because God is alive and we can have his Holy Spirit that abides and dwells within us, we can live more aware and in tune with his Holy Spirit. We can. However, here's the catch. The way that we treat the Holy Spirit in our lives is a reflection of the way that we treat Jesus. Our practical awareness of the Holy Spirit is a reflection of our tangible awareness of the presence of God in our lives. Let me say that again. Our practical awareness of the Holy Spirit is a reflection of our tangible awareness of the presence of God in our lives. Here's a fun question. How aware of Jesus are you in your life? Maybe you go, I'm aware. But here's a better question. When was the last time that you invited the Holy Spirit to be involved in your life? And not just when things were hard. When things were good, when you're celebrating that party, when you were with people, you were across the table from one another, and you would just go, Lord, what do you want to do in this moment? When was that last time? You see, too often, I think that we discounted the value of living in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have a theological understanding of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like, we have that down. But when we actually boil it down and we get to the Holy Spirit, we actually treat the Holy Spirit like the weird uncle of Jesus. You know, like he's near, but he's far, right? Like, but I think that we miss out because the Holy Spirit is in you and is in me. And he has some very specific roles in our lives. The biggest, bringing us into all truth. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus tells us that it's actually good for us that he leaves so that way he can send his Holy Spirit. He says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." However, we don't get everything all at once. There's actually still more. And even I would propose to you right now that in your life, there's still more to the Holy Spirit. There's still more to God than you have right now. You don't have it all. There's more. And so he says this in John 16, verses 12 through 14. This is Jesus talking. And he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." When was now? Now was then, but it's also now. And he says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Here's what I want you to know. God is not an Amazon God. What I mean by that is, yes, he knows everything. He sees everything. He knows exactly what you and I need, but he doesn't deliver everything with two-day shipping. We don't have it all right now. Some things take time. Because if we had everything right now, we would actually probably have no reason to trust. And if we really wouldn't have a care to maybe steward that relationship. The truth of the matter is that's what he's after. He's after your heart. I didn't do this in last service, but I want you to do this right now. Close your eyes. I want you to hear the voice of God in your life right now. I'm after your heart. You are all I desire. It is you that I have come for. You are mine. I am yours. Pursue me. Choose me. Trust me. You're everything I dreamed of. I love you. What the Holy Spirit hears, he speaks. And what he speaks, we can know. And what we can know, we can act on. The Holy Spirit is that still small voice who moves and speaks in each of our lives every single day. And you can hear him even more. Not just on a Sunday, not just in these walls, but out there in your life. You can. And so if you want to be a sheep who hears and is known and follows, if you want to be led into knowing all truth and knowing what God is saying to you both now and in the future to come, then you and I, we need to live more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I'm a practical guy. I want to give you some practical tools that you can use in your life today, okay? So if you got some notes, I would bust those bad boys out because we're going to fill them, all right? I got five quick things, and here's number one. If you want to live more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to encourage somebody somewhere out there to remember your kingdom identity. Remember your kingdom identity, because the Christian life is not founded on the cross, it's founded because of the cross, and the truth is that the cross is not the end, it's actually the beginning of the Christian life. It's not just what he did on the cross, it's what he continues to do after the cross, because my God lives. A kingdom identity recognizes this. It recognizes that the cross changed everything, and it behaves accordingly. A good question to ask, maybe for some of us in this room, is there a mindset or a posture or an attitude or a heartbeat or a habit that I have that's holding me back? Is there something I need to address? Maybe you go, I don't know Jesus. Or maybe I've wrestled with this. Well, guess what? Today's your day. Today's your day. I don't want you to leave this room without knowing Jesus. Because we're going to have some members of the prayer team up here after this message, and we would love to pray for you. We would love to help you know that. That way you can know your kingdom identity and behave accordingly. Number two, if you want to live more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in your life, I need you to know that acuteness comes with alignment. Acuteness comes with alignment. We don't place our faith in Jesus in order to get from him, but to be with him. It's all about relationship. And hearing God's voice comes more acutely when we are aligned with him. The truth is, some of us may feel like we're struggling to hear God's voice for a while now. But it's not because God isn't speaking. Remember, if you feel far from God, it's not God who moved. It's not God who moved. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And you can't know what until you know who. You can't know what until you know who. God is not a philosophy or a concept to be attained. He's a person to know. So you want to get aligned? You want to get aligned? The quickest way to get aligned? Surrender. Surrender your life. Surrender your sin. Surrender your expectations. Surrender your theology. Surrender your control. Because the good question you can ask here is it fully submitted to God or is it still under my control? I would propose to you, you can't fully submit something to God if you still have a hand in it. Let it go. Number three, if you want to be more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to encourage somebody to go back in order to go forward. Go back in order to go forward. The thing that most often holds us back in hearing the voice of God is actually ourselves. And it's our failure to act on what God has already said. Sometimes we live from a place where we want God something to do, the new thing. We want God to put the street sign up and say, this is the way. And how many know that he does that? It's okay that he does that. But that's not for everything. When he speaks, he entrusts us to listen. And when we listen, he entrusts us to act. Disobedience actually deviates us from honoring the voice of God. If we can't honor the first word, what he said, what makes us think we're going to honor the next? If you want to be more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to encourage you to honor what he says. Honor the word, both written and spoken. But also, if you feel like you're stuck in that area, go back in order to go forward. This is what we refer to as the J curve. Des so passionately talks about all the time. Go back in order to go forward. And side note, for some of y'all, you go, oh, I've been back and back and back. It doesn't make you a failure. It's actually wisdom to go back. That way you can propel forward. Get some momentum going. Number four, if you want to be more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to encourage somebody to evaluate what you cultivate. Evaluate what you cultivate. You know, there's some who seem to walk with a greater presence and a greater anointing of God in their lives. And you know, it's true. But why is that? Because it's the value that they place on it. You notice more about what you think about. And you become like what you think about, which is why the content of your heart matters. Because if you steward something in your heart, but you don't really give it the nutrients it needs, guess what? It's going to die. And that's going to play out in your life. Evaluate what you cultivate. Work it in your mind. Because here's the truth. What you think affects how you feel. How you feel affects how you behave. And your behavior matters whether it's positive or negative because it informs what it is you believe. Or rather, who it is you believe. Evaluate what you cultivate. And number five, if you want to live more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to invite somebody. I want to invite all y'all, whether you're in the room or online. This word is for you. Take risks. Take risks, take risks, take risks, take risks. Some of us need to take risks. We are far too comfortable in our lives. We're far too comfortable with what we know, with who we are, with who we hang around, with what our life is currently at, with how we live. We need to take risks. You know, some of this stuff is really good, but we stop taking risks when we're comfortable. Take risks. Get outside of your comfort zone. Because in fact, faith is actually spelled R-I-S-K, risk. Many say that they're willing, but they never actually live ready. They put all the work and the pressure on God, and they expect God to just radically move everything. But they forget that they have a responsibility in their relationship with him. I love this quote by Bob Goff. He's one of my favorite authors, has radically transformed my life. Especially around my faith and seeing my faith as a place of whimsy and wonder and awe. If you've never read the book Love Does, I highly encourage you to get it. It's freaking phenomenal, okay? But he writes this. He says, I've spent my whole life trying to get less comfortable, but I don't think Jesus wants us to be comfortable. I think Jesus wants you and I to live right on the edge of yikes. Picture this with me now. Imagine you're walking your life with Jesus hand in hand, and you get to that cliff, and you know the next step is actually a jump. It's the edge of yikes. But you live your life in such a way that when you jump, that if he doesn't catch you, you're in trouble. I would propose to you that's actually the sweetest place to live. When you run and you trust so passionately and vibrantly that when you jump that the Lord will catch you, man, that's a spot to live. But I want to encourage you to not decrease your faith when you don't get it 100%. I want to encourage you to lean in more. Keep moving. Keep asking in faith. Don't strive for comfort. Strive for connection. That's what it's about. I think often we tend to miss God when we live as though we have him all figured out. And chances are when we think that we have God all figured out, we're no longer being conformed into his image. We're actually trying to conform him into ours. The safest place is not in our comfort zone. It's actually in God's hand. Take the risk. Because the question is whether or not you'll trust him. I'm going to close with this story about taking risks. because this is vibrant in my life right now. This is stuff that I'm doing right now. But I back in February, I had the honor of getting to teach at a leadership summit with a room full of college students and young adults, and it was just an incredible, incredible time. The Lord did some pretty cool stuff, and actually just this past week got to meet with a guy from back in February who that message just seemed to connect, and it's unlocking some pretty cool stuff. The Lord's still moving in that. There's some pretty cool fruit. But I'm halfway through this leadership summit, and I'm teaching. So this is happening while I'm teaching. Imagine it like right now. I get this overwhelming feeling over me that I needed to go shopping. Now, I'm a super practical man. I don't necessarily shop all the time, except for the grocery store. I love the grocery store. But I imagine it's the feeling you get when, like, the gals in my life who love Target have to go to Target, you know? But I got that feeling, and I just kind of whisked it away because it didn't make sense in my life and in that moment where I was teaching. And so I just put it aside. But when I got to my truck and I was getting ready to leave, head back home, that overwhelming feeling washed over me again, and it was, like, even heavier. And I was like, shoot, I need to do something about this. So I asked the Lord out loud in my truck, Lord, what is this? Like, what's going on? And as soon as I asked that, I got this picture, like it happened right in front of my eyes, like I was seeing it with my very own eyes, of Scottsdale Fashion Center. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go to Scottsdale Fashion. I had a mission. And on the way there from Phoenix to Scottsdale, I was asking the Lord, what is going on? Like, what's happening? What do I need to know about what I'm shopping for? Because I have no idea. I didn't need anything. But I get to the parking lot, and I found a spot, and I turned the key off. And the moment my key came out of my ignition, I got this another picture of a store that I've been to before called Champs. It's a shoe store. And like it was right there in front of my eyes again, I said, all right, there's Mission 2.0. That's where I'm headed is Champs. And when I'm about 100 feet out, I know why I needed to go to Champs. It wasn't because they were having a sale, although I wish. I love a good bargain. But in the corner of my eye, in the peripheral of my eye, it felt like somebody took a yellow highlighter and highlighted this man. And I knew that I needed to go talk to that man. It didn't matter how my head looked. It didn't matter where my body was oriented. That peripheral followed. So I knew that I now had a purpose. And so now I'm excited, and I, like, run up to the edge of Yikes here to Champs, and I come barging through the door, and I don't need shoes. I need to talk to this man. And so I walk up to him. I didn't have anything planned. And so I go, hey, how's it going? How can I help you? Yeah, he kind of gave me that same thing too. He looked at me confused because that was his job. He was one of the workers. And I said, no, look, man, I need you to know that I came all the way from Phoenix to Scottsdale to talk to you today. And I have no idea why I'm here, but I think God just wants me to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And he goes, yeah, I would love that. And so in that moment, right when I asked if I could pray, he says, I get this like overwhelm again over my body of stress and anxiety and just this frantic like way of living. And I go, whoa, that's not mine. That must be his. And because I saw his name tag, his name's Stephen, I said, Stephen, I feel like there's just this stress and overwhelm and anxiety that's washed over your life. And I feel like God wanted me to come from Phoenix to Scottsdale today so that way if I prayed for you, he can release you from it. Would you like that? And he says, yeah. So I pray for Stephen. And when I'm done, we're both in tears in the middle of Champs. And he gives me the biggest hug I've ever gotten from a stranger. It happens a lot. And as he's hugging me, I just got this image in my head. Like the wax dripping from a candle was the same that was happening with Stephen and his burdens. The Lord was literally dripping them away. And after we hugged, I go to leave. And Stephen makes his way in tears over to the other side of Champs where his coworkers are at. And he goes, God just spoke to me and met me where I'm at. Now there's a little revival happening in the middle of Champs and Scottsdale because Stephen encountered God. Yeah, come on. Here's the truth of the matter. God is using people like you and me to do that wherever we go. I mean, I wasn't going to share this, but I'll share another one. I was at this Walgreens over here on McClintock and Southern and was getting ready to buy my stuff that I needed. And a lady in front of me is exchanging with the cashier that it's her birthday today. I said, "It's your birthday? We got to sing you happy birthday." So she looked at me petrified. I look at the cashier. I'm like, "We're doing this." So I go, 1, 2, 3, and we start singing happy birthday from the bottom of our guts. Next thing you know, I kid you not, there were people from another, like one of the aisles, clapping, "Happy birthday to you." And she, in tears, just goes, "That was the most special thing anybody's ever done for me." Why? Because God is using people like you and me. It's not in the profound even, it's in the simple. I don't know what you walked in these doors with today, but I want to encourage you that you can live more aware and in tune with the Holy Spirit in your life. Where you don't have to be like me, be you. We need you. We need your weirdness. By the way, if you're not weird, like, you'll learn. It's in the kingdom. But I want to pray for you right now. I don't know what you come in the doors with, but I want to pray for you right now that you might receive that you might operate in that and walk in that from here on out. Let me pray. Hey, Lord, we just thank you right now. We thank you that you are God who sees us, who knows us, who hears us. Lord, that we are not a mystery to you. You love us, Lord, so much that you give your son to die for us. But Lord, because we are in you, Lord, you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit to dwell and live within us. Lord, wherever we're at, Lord, even if we need to know Jesus for the first time, Lord, would you give us the boldness to do something about that today? Lord, that we don't leave these doors, we don't leave this room until we experience you. But Lord, maybe we felt stagnant in our faith, and Lord, we need a touch, a move, a motivation from you. Lord, we ask for that as we leave these doors today. Lord, and that you encourage and inspire us this week to live more aware and in tune with your Holy Spirit, no matter what's going on. Lord, because that's what you want to do. Lord, we want to live with an expectation, a dependency to see you move in our lives. And Lord, it starts right now. Whatever deeper measure, whatever immeasurably more gets to look like in each of our lives, Lord, we ask for that right now by your son's holy name. And we said, amen.